Welcome to Sav Stories. This episode of the Not So Great Outdoors was originally recorded for Patreon and released on September 1st, 2020. The format of this episode varies from traditional content. Enjoy!
The Not So Great Outdoors contains stories of a graphic nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
The outdoors are great.
Except when they're not.
Welcome to the Not So Great Outdoors. We're your guides. I'm Piff.
And I'm Sav. And welcome to the September 2020 Sav Stories.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, Piff, so we've talked on and off since I started my research on this, because I can't not talk about it. She doesn't know what it is.
I don't know what it is, but I've gotten some hints.
I had to talk about it, yeah, because I was having a hard time researching. We'll get there, but don't worry. But, so... I'm going to be really disappointed if you are like, oh, yeah, I know all about that case. I'm going to be really upset. But, so we are talking about the Crystal Rogers disappearance from Bardstown, Kentucky.
I don't know anything about that.
Yes! Yes! Okay, y'all. So, Crime Junkie did cover this, but they covered it in a different way. So, first of all, that's how I first heard about this case, like, details about this case. Yeah. And I'll talk about that a little more here in a minute. I was so scared that you were going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And once we talk about it, you'll probably remember that episode.
Yeah, I'm sure this is going to be one of those ones where I'm like, because we know I've heard the episode because it was in the, like, section of the ones of that podcast that I listened to.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I'll probably be like, oh, yeah, like, I'll remember, like, little
vague
things.
Details,
but
which is fine.
I couldn't tell you anything about this from memory.
I'm so excited. Because we were literally just downstairs getting our stuff ready. I'm so excited. I love this wine.
Should we tell the people what we're drinking?
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing that lately on this.
Yeah.
So today we're drinking Cupcake Moscato.
Yes. And I like this one. I've never had like just the straight Moscato.
Really?
I've always had the Moscato d'Asti or whatever, however you pronounce it. And it is real sweet. And
yeah.
So
This is more of a pure Moscato.
Yeah, I'm slowly getting to where I don't want such sweet wine, so I'm getting there.
It's because you drink so much wine
with
me.
It's because I drink wine with you.
I'm going to read the back of the bottle.
Please do.
Our Moscato comes from Italy's renowned Tre... Oh, this is... Hold on, it's Italian.
Mm-hmm.
How does Italian say Tre? I don't know. Tre Venezi. I'm just going to say it with an American accent.
Yep.
Region where we found lush grapes for this sweet, fruit-forward wine.
Are you sure that's not Venice?
I mean, it's...
Venezi?
Oh, yeah, probably. I mean, it's not written Venice. So.
No, but it might... I don't know. I don't know anything about Italian, but fun fact, if I could speak another language, I would want it to be Italian.
Yeah.
I just think that would be cool. I love the Italian culture, and
I, like, love Italy. I really want to go there, but I really wish I actually spoke fluent German, because that's my people.
Yeah, yeah. Zach would love my husband, for anybody who doesn't know.
They all know.
They all know that at this point, but just in case you're new. Also, I like to start these out, too, by saying thank you so much for being a patron. We love
thank
y'all
you,
so
we love
much.
You.
We love you.
We hope you enjoy these episodes where we drink and tell you stories while
she
tells you stories.
Because we don't drink ever. Contrary, I'm not going to say too popular belief, but like, contrary to how it might sound on other episodes, we never drink for other episodes. It's only the...
I was going to say, we drank for the first serial killer I ever did. We drank for
we
that.
Drank
because
for
I
that.
Was like, you might want to drink for
yeah.
this.
We gave a disclaimer for that one, though. We
yeah.
were like, listen, we're drinking. And I'm so glad we did. That one was rough.
Yeah.
It was
although,
a good one,
since
though.
Then, we've
That's
done rougher
one.
Ones.
Yeah.
But
that
I think
was
I've
our
gotten
first
better.
Bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was yeah, our yeah. first really rough one. And we were virtual for that
yeah,
one.
Yeah. So we
which
weren't
was
in
rough
person.
In general.
Which...
Sorry. For the audio content for the first couple episodes.
It's fine. We have...
It's fine.
Now the only thing we have to apologize for is every once in a while when it does that weird echoey thing that we still haven't figured out.
That we can't figure that out. But it's fine. It's fine. So...
It's fine. Honestly, it's worse on Sav Stories because normally I just edit out that part unless it's, like, important to the story.
Yeah. So it's fine. Great. Okay.
Love you.
I'm so excited. We love you guys so much. Thank you so much for being a patron. Encourage your friends to also become patrons. I just closed down my notes. It's fine. But yeah, we're really excited you guys are here. And I hope you enjoy the third Sav Stories. I'm really getting into doing these. Like,
yeah.
Like, my first one, I was like, I was
and
really
now
nervous. And now
it.
I'm like, yes.
Good.
Can't
good, good,
wait. Good.
I'm excited for this because I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And you were convinced that I would.
I was so convinced.
I thought, because of how you were talking about it, I thought it was going to be like
Lori Vallow or like the Golden State Killer.
No. Like, I'm not going to go anywhere near those, I think. Anything like that, because it's so well known. I'm you could listen to nearly any true crime podcast and get stories like that.
Yeah. But that's why you were like, it's kind of current. And I'm like, well, Golden State Killer was caught 2 years ago. So, and it was also the Crime Junkie Golden State Killer episode was in those, like, that section.
That section.
And it, like, stood out to me. And I was like,
you're like, that's it. So, is that what you thought I was doing?
Yeah.
No. If you haven't noticed, I'm kind of sticking around to, like, local. Like, not really local, but, like, you know, this area. Like, Kentucky. And
Kentucky crimes.
Kentucky crimes, yeah. it could be a thing. But, so, Bardstown's not that far away from here. And so, that was another reason why.
Maybe I have.
I'm sure you've heard of it. I'm sure, like, if you've been around Bardstown within the last 5 years, you've definitely seen a sign that has her name on it. Oh. Piff's laptop's talking to us.
It's fine. It's not telling me it's dead, which is the thing I was worried about. It's just telling me that
it's been yelling me for the last day and I have to update things. But it's been, like, I've opened my computer to, like, work on podcast stuff. And I'm like, I don't have time for this right now.
So we're going to get started a little bit, and then it's probably going to pull things, like, out of your memory as we go, but that's way more fun than you being like, oh, yeah, I'm a scholar on this. I know everything about this.
I'm definitely not.
Great. Okay, so we are talking about the disappearance of Crystal Rogers, which is pretty notorious. Like, if you've ever been around Bardstown, I'm sure you've seen signs, like, saying she's missing, like, asking for information and, like, things like that. My father-in-law does not live in Bardstown, but lives, like, that direction, and so as you drive around that area, you see it. And if you've done that within the past 5 years, like, you've definitely seen it. Because she disappeared in 2015.
Oh. That's easy math. So, like, real recent.
Real recent.
Okay.
But there has recently been some new activity going around that case, which is what drew my attention to it.
And
we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but there's also some other events that have taken place around that time period that people lump with that. Some of them I'm like, yeah, that's for sure connected. And then some of them I'm like,
not so much.
And one in particular, I'm like, I'm leaning towards yes, but it could not, you know? So, and we are going to talk about those a little bit, but we're mostly going to focus on Crystal and her case. And we'll talk about, like, the new break and things later. So, but before we dive in, as I start every episode, you can find my complete list of sources in the description of this video. I have a lot of links to things that, a lot of my sources, honestly, almost all of my sources for this were news articles, which was, it's nice to have, like, a ton of news articles about the things
every
that have happened.
Every once in a while, I do a case and it's like, I have three sources, because that's all I could find.
Yeah. And it's really hard. So, so remember, you can find the sources. I would like to give a specific shout out to CrystalRogersTaskForce.com, which was actually put together by law enforcement to share information about this case. So, like, keep that in the back of your head also. I want to give a massive shout out to the guys over at True Crime Cast, which is another podcast. They just did a really good job of kind of, like, laying out the series of events that took place around her disappearance, which was great, because I remember texting you being like, there is so much that has gone on, like, and then, but every resource rehashes the same details, but some have little nuggets that, like,
and so then you're trying to put the nuggets in where they belong.
And then some don't include all these other details, but not the one little nugget. And so it was just really overwhelming, because there was such a wealth of resources. I don't want to say a wealth of information, just a wealth of resources, and I was getting very overwhelmed. And also, I got stuck in, like, a Reddit hole forever.
I think a lot of cases that are, like, more current, that's what'll happen, is, like, there'll be 12 different newspaper articles. They'll all say basically the same thing, except, like, slightly different wording, or, like, one will have, like, an extra sentence about the husband or something.
Yeah. So there's a ton of news articles that are linked. Most of them are from a local paper, which I appreciated, because I was like, they are, like, in the heart of it, so that was nice. So, huge shout out to the guys at True Crime Cast. This case did capture national attention and is doing that again because of recent events and things like that, which we'll talk about. And so their episode really was helpful, because, like, they were also, like, I don't know, I feel like women typically I don't know, are like, there's systems, but you also need to know this, and you need to know this. But they were very, like,
straightforward.
Here are the facts. Yeah. And I was like, thank you for that.
Thanks for that.
Thanks
we
for
appreciate
that.
It.
And not just women do that, but, like, you know, I'm over here, like, tell me all the things. And they're like, okay, well, first you
I
need
feel
to
like
know this.
In general, a lot of podcasters do
it.
That. Because we like to talk. That's why we have a podcast.
Yes, that's a way better way of putting it. So it was just, yeah, I really appreciated them. So thank you so much. Okay. So let's get started. I do right. also want to give him.
I just said all right, and then
oh,
I was going
to thought you said I'm
going to,
and I was like, oh, okay, what? What? Okay. But I do also want to offer the disclaimer that Crystal has been assumed dead.
Okay.
We don't have a body. Proof of that. No, we do not have remains or anything like that. So she has been assumed dead, although her family does remain hopeful that she will return home, and my heart goes out to them. I love that they've been able to hold out hope for 5 years. That's amazing. I will be using the past tense when referring to her because that is just how my mind has processed it.
Yeah.
But I do want to be respectful of the family that, and just make it known that we do not have proof of that. There's
still
a hope that she could come home, and I hope she does because she's also a mother of five. So I do really hope that there is a chance that she comes home.
I was just going to say, have you heard of the girl in the box? Don't Google it.
Okay.
But this woman disappeared and was basically kept hostage and tortured for like 8 years
oh
and then like
gosh.
But she made it out and like,
wow
yeah. And like everybody like thought she was dead and
yeah I mean
she wasn't
yeah
because it's possible
yeah they have not had her
but also do not Google that
don't Google it I'm just gonna take your report. They have not had her like officially pronounced dead or anything like that, but like law enforcement doesn't have much hope that she, because there is a quote, I don't have it in here, but there is a quote from the local sheriff that was saying like there are things that people do when they're still alive that there's absolutely nothing. Like she has just
vanished,
like no bank information, like and I mean there's information, but no activity, literally nothing.
Yeah.
No sightings, like nothing. So I will be using the past tense. It just helps me to keep my brain straight, but
she could still be out
there. She could still be out there.
And if you know anything, you should call your local law enforcement
agency.
You
absolutely should. Yes. Or the Louisville branch of the FBI. We'll get there. But yes. Or visit that website, crystalrogerstaskforce.com. They have a place where you can anonymously send in any information that you might have about that case or any of the others that may or may not be related that I'll talk about also. Because they get lumped in so much that there's actually a tab about all
like
those
related
other cases.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Because everybody is convinced that, like, they must have something to do with it because they all happened within the same time period.
Okay. So is it likely that the husband did not do it then? Oh. We'll see. Okay.
We'll see. Should we cheers? We should.
All right.
Okay.
The only downside about cheersing with these is it doesn't make, like, the ringing sound like glass does.
Yeah.
It's all right. Could click these bottles together or something.
We could, yeah. All right. So, Crystal is and was a 35-year-old mother of five. She was very close with her family, particularly her parents, Sherry and Tommy Ballard. We will talk about them several times throughout this, so remember their names. And her parents were very involved in helping her raise her children. So they were a very tight-knit family. At the time of her disappearance, Crystal was living with her boyfriend, Brooks Houck, who is the father of her youngest son, whose name is also Brooks.
Aww.
He was two at the time.
Little Brooks baby.
I know, he was a little baby.
Nothing happens to the kids, though, right? They're
no,
all fine.
No, correct. Yeah, no, cool. No, the kids are fine.
At least there's that.
There's that. Brooks had previously run for sheriff at one point and was not elected, and he also has a brother named Nick who served as an officer in the Bardstown Police Department, which we will dive into a little bit more later.
Okay.
Crystal and Brooks had been going through a rough patch, as you do.
Most couples.
I mean,
yep.
Yeah. And that was not new for them. So the night of July 3rd, 2015, she had been texting a friend about the problems they were having in their relationship. And according to Brooks, he went to bed that evening and Crystal was still up playing games on her phone. Which, I mean, same. There's been many a night that
The thing that really just freaked me out about that, because it's so recent, you said, like, July 3rd, 2015, and I was like, I can tell you exactly where I was and what I was doing on July 3rd, 2015, and that's just a little real.
I would have to, like, reach way back in my brain, but I'm sure I could probably tell you where I was and what I was doing.
I graduated college that year, and so I know that I was working working at Camp Frederick.
Wow.
And I know that for the 4th of July that year, we went to the, like, local town for their fireworks show, and it was the day before the 4th of July, so I can, like, factually tell you.
I know I was a sophomore in college. I was working for the Capes, and so I probably was at work or at our local town fireworks show. Like, nothing really all that amazing happened for me in 2015, I don't think. So,
but it's just really weird because, like, you said that, and I was like, I can picture what I was wearing.
Yeah, it's wild. And now it's like 10 years ago, like, I know where I was 10 years ago. Like, that's just wild to me. Like, now that I'm, like, at that age to where I'm like, 10 years ago, and I know exactly what I was doing and where I was. That's just wild. Yeah. So, yeah. So, Brooke says that she was up, still playing on her phone. but when he woke up the next morning, she wasn't there. And he said he didn't really think much of it because she would often stay the night at a friend's house when they were having trouble.
Just to poke a little hole. So he went to sleep and she was there.
Yes.
And so his hypothesis is that after he went to sleep, she packed up into the car and left.
That's his story.
I don't buy it.
Yeah.
We're like two paragraphs in. I don't buy it.
We're about to not buy it even further.
Cool.
Just keep holding on to that. After no one had been able to reach her, Sherry, Crystal's mom, reported her missing. And I, for one, find it interesting that Brooks wasn't the one
to report her missing. Well,
but I digress. We don't have to digress. We can talk about it if you want. I have a lot to say.
Yeah, it's just sketchy.
Yeah. It just doesn't rub me the right way.
If you live with a person, like, it makes sense that you're the one to report. Like, if you didn't live together, then I would buy it. Yeah. But you live together. Yeah. So
I only found one article that said this. It was a quote. So, I mean, I'm supposing it actually was true. But, like, apparently one of Crystal's older daughters texted Sherry and was like, listen, we can't get a hold of mom, like, we don't know where she is, or something like that. And that's what first tipped her off that something might be up. Also, not to mention, like, she didn't show up for the family 4th of July event, that a really tight-knit family.
I was going to say, also, it was 2015, like...
Yeah, everybody has cell phones. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, we can get a hold of each other.
Yeah. So, yeah. According to Crystal Rogers TaskForce.com, which, again, was a website put together by law enforcement, quote, on July 5th, 2015, Crystal's mother reported her missing after Crystal had not been seen or heard from since the evening of July 3rd, 2015. The same day Crystal was reported missing, her car was found abandoned with a flat tire at mile marker 14 on the Bluegrass Parkway. Crystal's keys, phone, and purse were still inside, end quote.
Okay.
So, here we are.
Sketchy.
2 days after she was last seen and heard from, her car is left on the side of the road. And so there, the host of True Crime Cast said that they had read reports that it looked like the tire was low, but not, like, punctured flat.
Yeah.
Like, almost as if it had been purposefully deflated. Which tracks, because it... They said also that there had been reports from Crystal's family members and people who knew her well that stated she would rather drive on a flat tire and had driven on a flat tire or a rim before because she didn't want to pull over on the side of the road because she felt unsafe doing so.
So she would have never...
Would have not done that.
Pulled over on the side of the road is what you're telling me. Cool. Yeah. Which
is fair because I don't like doing that either. And also, just in case there's anybody listening or in here who's not familiar with, like, parkway systems, so they're very much like the interstate, but not a traditional interstate.
They just have a slower speed
limit. They have slower speed limits, but they're straight and flat most of the time. And
they're like interstates in Ohio.
Okay. Yeah.
They're straight and flat. That's all I was getting at.
Yeah. So, also, let's just talk about the stuff in her car. So, if I break down... I'm taking all of that with me.
Yeah.
You know, and her keys were left in the ignition. Like, they were just, it's like she just disappeared from inside the car. Like, so I'm definitely taking that with me.
So I'm trying to keep an open mind. And, like, if her plan, if her goal was to disappear, maybe fake her own death or something, that's the only situation that I can see her willingly leaving all of that stuff there.
Yeah.
But it sounds like she loved her kids and loved her parents, even if she was having issues with her boyfriend. Like,
And that's exactly the feeling I got, too, because I was like, okay, well, what if she wanted to disappear? Like, what if she just was
I think you would still take cash. Was there cash in her wallet? Cash.
I don't know.
Oh.
But let's fast forward a little bit, just for a quick second. There's a quote from Sherry who said, you know, she really knew something was wrong when she ran into Brooks out about and he was in his truck. And this was like a day or so or a couple days after she went missing. And her two-year-old grandson poked his head, like, you know, around and waved at her. And she said, like, her heart, like, she just knew. Like, she, the quote went to the effect of, I saw that baby and I just knew something was wrong. She would have never left that baby.
Yeah.
And well, because that's how, like, Eastern Kentucky women, like, that, the baby, you know, like, I just, I don't have a good feeling about it, but that is.
The boyfriend did it.
I'm with you, sister. Not a good look. Not a good look. So, let's just dive into further why this is not a good look. So, again, there were those reports that believe that there are reports that people closest to Crystal don't even think that she was in the car that night. Because, now there is no physical evidence that points to this. No DNA, like, no fibers, like, nothing that points to that. But the seat was pushed back further than usual for Crystal, and the fact that it was left abandoned, and the fact that there was a flat tire, but not so flat that you couldn't have driven on it. Like, it all of these things, people really don't,
Was she by any chance 5'3"? Maybe. Do you know?
Yeah, maybe roughly around 5'3".
It's tickling something in my
brain.
Yeah,
that's
when
tickling
you said
me
that,
too, but I
when you said, like, the seat was pushed back, I, like, something up here is, like, and, like, they put a 5'3 person in there, and they couldn't even reach the brake pedal.
They probably couldn't,
like, that's where I, again, I don't know if that's this case or some other case where that happened, but that's just...
But the fact that it was notably further back than what she would have had it, I imagine she had to be pretty short for it to be back enough that they could notice that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, even just, like, preference in driving, like, how far you have your seat back. But you kind of know, like, the adults around you kind of know how you like to have
how
your
you
seat.
Drive. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, but yeah, again, I'm really annoyed that there's no physical evidence because that makes it so much easier, but there's nothing.
Yeah. Well, and if it's her car that I assume her children are usually in, that I would assume...
There's too much, like,
cross. Her, like, her, yeah, and her boyfriend probably has been in the car, so, like... You wouldn't even know, like, you wouldn't be able to eliminate or say definitively any of it was from that night. Because you would expect all of those people's DNA in that car all of the time.
Yeah. Okay, so now, Piff. When someone goes missing, who are the first two people that police want to look into first?
The spouse.
Significant other, yeah.
Yeah. The spouse, again?
The spouse, and the last person to see them alive.
Oh, yeah.
Who, conveniently...
Is also the spouse.
Is the same person.
Well, it's not the spouse, it's the boyfriend,
other,
but
yeah,
you know.
Whatever. The significant other. Yeah. So, conveniently...
The partner.
Yeah, they're the same person, in this case, Brooks Houck.
Except he... Whatever, he's dumb.
He's not the one who said she was missing. Yeah. Didn't even tell her parents.
Yeah, he's, like, not concerned at all.
Yeah.
Oh, just he's like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah, just wait.
Do we know any, are you gonna tell me stuff about him?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because I'm
like,
mad
what do you
want
to know though?
I don't know, like, has he had prior relationships? Is he abusive? How much of a shit stain is he?
He's definitely had prior relationships, but, like, I don't know, have much, like, information on that. Nothing I read pointed to the fact that he was abusive, but I bet you he was probably emotionally, mentally abusive. I have nothing to back that up, but it just seems that way.
Just jives with
it
who
just
he seems
fits.
To be as a person.
Yeah. And he just seems like a huge shit stain, like, honestly, to me. But, and I'll give you reason to think that, as we go.
Okay.
So, Brooks was interviewed by police on July 8th, 5 days after Crystal was last seen, and 3 days after her missing persons report was filed. Okay. So, remember... He was not the person to file that report. Another red flag to me was that he was not actively helping or searching for her or helping with the investigation in any way. Her family was organizing search parties, putting up flyers.
Like, doing all the things you do when somebody you love is missing.
And even the community was coming out to show their support for her family and help in any way that they could, which is another thing I love about small towns. And, I mean, Bardstown's not really, not, I mean, it's a small town, but
it's part of Louisville.
Yeah, yeah. So, Mahee wasn't participating in any of it. Like, didn't show up at the searches, like, nothing. So, in his interview with police was pretty interesting. There is a video of it available, which, like, first of all, shout out to the Bardstown Police Department.
Letting
us see that. Like, I know they film interviews, like, that's a thing.
Yeah, but that usually doesn't become public record.
Yes, so that has become public record somehow, some way. So I was able to find it. So this video is linked in the description if you want to go watch it later.
Ooh.
But during his interview, he received a phone call from his brother Nick, who was a police officer with the Bardstown Police Department.
That's tickling something.
It should. So, now, we can't hear what Nick is saying in the video, but Brooks's responses are very telling, and we find out that basically Nick told him, don't tell the police anything, they're trying to trip you up. So of course, after that phone call, Brooks completely shuts down and stops. You good? Are you okay?
I just choked on wine. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I just want to make sure you're okay.
Oh, my eyes are watering.
It is pretty appalling that, like, a police officer is going to, you know, interfere with this investigation. Yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah, pretty, I mean, it's choke-worthy, yeah. But. Yeah, okay, I'm fine. I just. Let me try that again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry.
That's fine. So. Again, he completely shuts down and stops cooperating with police altogether, which is, like, saying a lot because he already wasn't doing a lot anyway. So then he's doing absolutely nothing. So, not a good look.
Not a good look.
So, after Brooks shuts down completely, Crystal's family was really putting the pressure to him, and I commend them for that. And they were saying that he needed to do something, he needed to try to help, like, you know, all that. So he decides, in his infinite wisdom, that he's going to make an appearance on Nancy Grace, which is was at the time a nightly celebrity news and current affairs show on HLN at the time.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Go on, Nancy Grace.
I also have a link to that as well. Good. He's on the phone, but her parents were actually, like, on camera for this as well. Yeah. So, Nancy Grace, who honestly, like, seems like a little spitfire. Like, I don't know much about her, but she asked, like, she just got straight to it and was like,
"So, what did you do?"
No, but he would have said no. That's, you know, not going to get us anything.
He's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I mean, she was like, "What did you do?" Like, she was like, "I find it interesting that you're not the one who filed her missing persons report."
Yeah.
And he just danced around every single question. And he, and again, remember, he's the person who was like, hey, I want to be on your show. Like, he's the person who initiated this.
What did he think was going to happen?
I don't know. But that link is also available if y'all want to watch that. It's quite the dumpster fire. You should definitely watch it. So Nancy Grace asked him why he didn't report her missing himself. And he said it was because he, quote, wasn't the least bit concerned, end quote, because Crystal had done that before, like, gone and stayed with people or, you know, whatever. And y'all should definitely go and watch it. But I'll just say, Nancy Grace wasn't the least bit impressed. He wasn't the least bit concerned. She was not the least bit impressed with you, mister. Ugh. And also, because I don't think he knew that Sherry and Tommy were going to also be on.
Oh.
So they were able to dispute
what he was saying.
He dropped a name of a cousin of hers that she went to stay with. Remember, I have read so much about this. Not a single person was quoted. Yeah, she stayed with me that night.
Yeah.
Okay, and so.
Because she didn't.
Yeah, so he dropped a name of Tommy's niece.
Okay.
So Tommy's brother's daughter.
Yes.
So Crystal's cousin, whatever. Yeah. And so Nancy says, well, we have Sherry and Tommy here with us. Or, I don't know, like, with them, but in a studio somewhere, but you can see them. And she said, do you know that name? Like, does that seem familiar to you? Is that someone that Crystal was close enough she would go to for,
to, like, stay with in a time of crisis?
Yes. And so he was like, yes, that's my niece, but I didn't, she hasn't said, yeah, she was there, basically, is what he said. And so I was just kind of like, not a good look, dude. Not a good look at all.
I wish they were going to be like, yeah, that's my niece, but Crystal and her haven't spoken in 20 years.
I would have loved that. It honestly
because of, like,
happened.
XYZ.
Yeah, and Nancy was like, okay, so how many times would you say, because Brooks was like, yeah, she does it all the time or has done it before several times, or a very vague number.
Statement.
Yeah, and so she said, how many? Like, got to him, was like, how many times? And he was like, I'd say, like, 4 to 6. And Tommy, I think, was like, they've seen each other maybe, like, a couple of times. You know, like, was able to dispute it enough to where I was like, yeah, no, that's bullshit, but whatever. So, shortly after Brooks's interview with Nancy Grace, the police request that Nick come in and be interviewed about her disappearance. Obviously, your brother is the prime suspect of this.
Yeah.
We want to talk to you. And that little phone call stunt did not go over well. So, but...
Was he at least, like, reprimanded for that? For, like, interfering in an investigation?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, imagine their concern, though, when he refused to be interviewed. Flat out refused.
So the brother helped.
He refuses to be interviewed about the case and refused to take a polygraph.
I get refusing to take a polygraph. I would also refuse to take a polygraph.
Yes.
But.
Yes. And I even have a little note. It's like, okay, we're going to talk about it just a little. I have very mixed feelings about a polygraph. However, typically, if you have absolutely nothing to hide, you're not going to refuse to talk to someone. Like, a polygraph, I would refuse just because they can be.
I wouldn't refuse the interview, but I would refuse a polygraph. I wouldn't do it.
So, just, that's just, So, let's see. I lost my spot.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. He did eventually do the interview and the polygraph, which is interestingly enough, was administered by the FBI, who got involved around that time. So, do you want to take a guess at his results?
I'm guessing he failed.
Yes. He straight up failed. Like, it wasn't even to the point where they were like,
it wasn't, like, inconclusive.
Like, it was flat out, there's no doubt in our minds whatsoever that he failed. Now, this is kind of where my note is. It's like, there are mixed feelings on polygraphs among, especially the true crime space, but, like, whether or not you believe they're reliable.
They're not.
Which I don't, absolutely not, and they shouldn't be.
That's why they can't be used in court. It's because they're not reliable.
Yes. But you have to admit, though,
it's sketchy.
If someone straight up fails, that is telling.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
that,
what's,
like,
more telling is that he was a police officer, right?
Yes. Yes.
Police officers, first of all, know about polygraphs. They know how the test works. Mm-hmm. If anybody could beat a polygraph, it should be a police officer. Like, if you want to, I wanted to work for the DOD for a while as a cryptologist, fun fact. And, but to get the job, like, you have to pass a polygraph. And I was like, I have too much stress. Like, I wouldn't even be able to pass a polygraph that's not even, like, questioning me about a crime.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, somebody who is in law enforcement, that, that should be the thing that they can do.
Yeah, because they know how, they know how it works. So.
So it's even more telling.
Yeah. And then all that coupled with the fact that they initially refused it altogether.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you knew they wanted to give you a polygraph, and you still failed it.
You should have just done the interview.
Yeah. Yeah. So, real quick side note. Again, kudos to the police department for making another video available, because there's a video of his interview, too.
Oh, my gosh.
They're really long. However.
Oh, yeah. I bet they would be.
They're really long. But, so, that video is available, and also this article that I pulled a quote from that video from, because I pulled other information too. It's fine. So, there is an article published by the Huffington Post on October 20th, 2015, The FBI polygraph examiner said to Nick, quote, "It's pretty clear that you haven't told me the complete truth, and the questions you are having problems with are questions about Crystal, and in particular, whether or not you know where she is right now." End
Interesting.
Quote. So, to which Nick responded, and I will be tweaking one particular thing, because okay. I don't like the word choice. Quote, "I don't give a GD," because I don't like that, "what your fucking computer said. You're calling me a fucking liar, and I don't like it when people call me a liar."
Well, don't lie then.
Yeah. Also, remember when I sent you a snap that was like, when you're reading a transcript and the dude gets mouthy with the FBI?
Yes.
That was that moment. I was like,
dude.
Bro. So, he was dismissed from his position on the Bardstown Police Department in October of 2015, and it was his refusal and failure of the polygraph that led to his dismissal and just his conduct in general.
Yeah, it's...
So, in that same article, Bardstown Police Chief Rick McCubbin said, quote, I expect, demand, and will accept nothing less than ethical, professional, proactive officers on this department. While the difficult task of firing an officer will always weigh heavy, I will not hesitate to remove one if our profession, our badge, or our oath and affirmation are tarnished, end quote.
Wow. Well, only like, all police officers were like that.
I know. Also, he was very passionate. Like, I saw a video of him at one point, and I didn't end up, like, using it or anything, but he was just very passionate. I was just kind of like,
see, those are the good ones.
That's the good one. So, yeah. So, there's that. That was interesting.
Yeah.
I definitely reacted like, okay. I read that.
So, his cop brother and him got rid of her. What was their motive? Do we know?
Remains unclear. Not really. I have a theory, but we'll get there.
Okay.
I have a theory, but they've never said anything.
I'm skipping ahead because I'm mad.
It's okay. No, yeah. It's very angering. So we are going to take, like, a minor little, like...
A detour.
Little detour. Not really. It's still regarding
this. Is this one of those, like, I wonder... I bet you're wondering how we got here.
Sort of. So, not really, but, like, I don't know. It's related, and I just couldn't overlook it. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that it's really not, like, big... I don't know. It's not like they found this piece of evidence or anything like that, but it's just kind of like, this is a lot. This is telling.
Okay.
So, there were no new developments in this case until December of 2015. And are you ready? I put the wine down.
Yes.
Okay. A friend and employee of Brooks. Now, I didn't dive into this a whole lot, like what Brooks does or whatever. That's irrelevant at the moment, but just know somebody who was considered a friend, but also an employee.
Okay.
His name was Danny Singleton. And he was arrested and charged with 38 counts of perjury.
Oh.
Which, anybody who doesn't know, is basically lying under oath.
That's 38!
38! How many questions are you asking?
Apparently 38.
That he can lie on 38 of them. I don't know.
Dang.
I don't know. So, according to an article
published... Was that even his real name?
I don't know.
At this point, nobody
knows. At this
point,
we don't know. So, according to an article published by WDRB in December of 2015... Quote, Singleton's perjury was allegedly committed when he previously gave testimony to a grand jury. End quote. 38!
About what?
I don't know!
Guys!
Because this is still an open investigation. I couldn't find any, like, records of, like, what exactly
what
he lied about. Yeah. But you have to think, though, if they know enough to know that he lied, they have to have some sort of evidence that tells the truth about what he was lying. So it's like, I feel like they know a lot more than what they can share right now. Obviously,
yeah,
it's
they obviously
an investigation.
Like...
But I'm just like, dude, 38. So he ended up pleading guilty and serving 6 months in jail. So needless to say, things are not looking good for the Houck brothers in this case. In another article published by WDRB in October, because I think... Oh, I know. Sorry. This is not talking about Singleton, but whatever. In October of 2015, this does go along the path of things are just not looking good for the Houck brothers. The Nelson County Sheriff, Ed Mattingly, the sheriff's office and the police department working very closely, as well as the Louisville branch of the FBI, you know, But Sheriff Ed Mattingly said, quote, I have 8 pages of circumstances that lead me to look in their direction, end quote.
So they did it?
I mean, there's a lot of, it sounds like there's a lot of circumstances. He didn't use the word circumstantial evidence, but yeah. It sounds like there's a lot pointing them in
there
that direction.
There are a lot of things that point us to saying that you did it.
Yeah. And so he was also quoted saying the following about Brooks specifically this time. But he has done things that, quote, he has done things that caused him to be suspect. When evidence comes to a point that probable cause points at him, he'll be arrested, end quote. So they are ready. They're just ready for the
slip-up.
They just
need enough.
That inevitably happens. They are ready, poised and ready.
If they were to find a body, which
yes.
If he got rid of her, I'm betting there is a body, you know, like.
Yeah. So as soon as probable cause
they just need
around,
enough.
They just need something to make it stick. So, let's continue down the rabbit hole. That is this series of events in this case.
A series of unfortunate events.
It really is. So, we recorded another episode earlier today, and I made a reference to the meme of the guy with all the red tape and the papers behind him, and his hair's all crazy, and he's like,
yeah.
That's how I feel about this case. Like, I truly, I am like, listen, I have all of these theories, but they all point to one person, or one group of people. But while we continue down the rabbit hole, let's fast forward a little bit to June 1st of 2016. Brooks and Nick, I suppose, Brooks' 82-year-old grandmother, Anna Whitesides, was subpoenaed to testify about the whereabouts of her car.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. So
they used their grandma's car?
According to another article published by WDRB on June 1st, 2016, quote, Whitesides has been subpoenaed to testify before a Nelson County grand jury but is invoking her Fifth Amendment right not to talk. The subpoena order states the car may have been used to dispose of a body, subsequently cleaned and sold in an attempt to prevent the Commonwealth from obtaining evidence from it, end quote.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? This family.
Grandma helped in
this
the murder?
This whole family. I don't know.
What is their deal?
The article also said, quote, according to court documents, a private investigator found that a white Buick, which was the color and make of her vehicle, was parked in a peculiar location at the Houck family farm the night Rogers disappeared, end quote. Anna's attorney, Jason Floyd, told police that, quote, she did own a white Buick and had sold it sometime here in the last few weeks, end quote. He also said that his client had given her statement to the police, including who she sold her car to, and that should be enough. That's not enough, Jason. I'm sorry to tell you.
So, I could be wrong about this, but can't you only invoke Fifth Amendment rights to protect yourself?
If you feel like you
could be admitting to a crime.
If you feel like you could be, like, painted in the wrong light. Yeah. I can't remember the specific word, but yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's interesting.
Incriminating. There it is. Incriminating. She felt that she would be incriminating herself, so she refused.
By talking about her car?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that that's a thing that you're nervous about.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. That's all. Interesting.
And, I mean, if the car was in the possession of Brooks and Nick that night, all you have to do is say so.
Yeah, that wouldn't
That's
be
not
anything.
Incriminating you at all. Honestly, not talking incriminates you a lot more than saying, yeah, the boys had my vehicle.
I mean, it's
that
not.
I don't know what they did with it.
But if she's not talking, then we can only speculate.
We can only
you know?
Speculate. But to me,
it could also be like her lawyer's advice or like if you could. Had any idea, they could charge you too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fear mongering
so,
on like
yet
the,
again.
If they all have the same lawyer, you know?
Yeah, they probably do. So, yet again. Not a good look. Okay.
One.
Yeah, right. I needed so much while I was doing this research. Mm-hmm. So, I want to change gears just a little bit and talk about all the efforts that have gone into this case. You know, local law enforcement, Kentucky State Police, FBI have all been involved at various stages and all throughout. It's really weird. It's kind of like this
giant project.
This giant thing, yeah. But one person is said to have put in the most work, and that is Crystal's father, Tommy Ballard.
Aww.
Tommy led several searches, reviewed surveillance footage, and even conducted his own interviews, reviewed the footage from interviews that the police had conducted, you know, everything. But I'm sorry to say that he never had the opportunity to see justice for his daughter. Aww. Because on November 19th, 2016, he was shot and killed.
By who?
And now we go into the first of the related cases, the related or not related cases that we were talking about. You really can't do this case. You really can't talk about this and not talk about at least his case.
Yeah.
There are a couple others we are going to talk about, but... You really his can't do this and not talk about him. It's just
weirdly convenient if he's putting in all this effort.
Yes. So, Tommy had taken... Are you ready? I'm like... This is where I really start getting fired up. Like, so, Tommy had taken his 12-year-old grandson to their family farm, private family farm, that'll be important in a minute, for a day of hunting. Okay. As you do in November. So... As Tommy walked the tree line, preparing for their day, he was shot once in the chest and died instantly. Now, let me go ahead and say, the grandson has been cleared. He was not armed at the moment. The firearms, I believe, were in the vehicle, and they were both outside of the vehicle. There's all this. So the grandson is cleared. They're just, like, yes.
Scout and walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, The Oxygen Network actually did a special called The Disappearance of Crystal Rogers, in which they brought in private investigators who, you know, so like kind of like third party, which is kind of nice as like a fresh perspective. And they also looked into Tommy's death as well. They found a gun kickback mark on a tree across the way with a perfect view of where Tommy was shot. And get this, that tree line... backed up to the Bluegrass Parkway. So, now, they obviously look into the possibility that this was a hunting accident. Because, again, you know, they're on a hunting trip. That's going to be the first thing that they logically look at, regardless of how not like a hunting accident it looks.
Yeah.
But the fact that they were on a private family farm, the grandson was unarmed, and the recoil mark that they found, things really don't point to it being... an accident. It has not been officially ruled as a murder, I don't think, or homicide, yes, but things really are not pointing to
it, because it looks like a homicide.
Yes, and the family had said in many different articles and many different accounts that, you know, no one else ever really hunted on that property. It was a big family farm. Nobody should be there. Even if they're on the Bluegrass Parkway, like, it never should be there. So one of the things that people are asking about in regards to Tommy's case are remembering if, like, you were on the Bluegrass Parkway and you saw a vehicle on the side of the road at a specific point or anything like that. And so, again, CrystalRogersTaskForce.com is where you can submit any information about any of the cases that we talk about today. So, yeah.
I've got a lot of goosebumps right now.
Right? Yeah. This is a hard one. And this one is particularly... Well, I mean,
it feels so like... It feels so like... We're taking out everybody, you know?
Yeah. And it feels so we know, we think we know who's responsible. It's just there's nothing that can make it stick. They can't be charged
yet. It's like if you took this evidence to a jury, like, they would find him not guilty because you don't have evidence beyond a reasonable doubt, which sucks.
Which sucks. So, and also, like, we're both from relatively small towns. So, like, we both know how this rocks a small town, or how anything like this, like, affects a small town. People are very close in small towns, which sometimes is not great. But sometimes, and in cases like this, it's amazing.
I feel like everybody banded together.
And it's just hard when everybody knows, but there's nothing that can be done. And I can't imagine how Sherry feels. Yeah. Because she's still fighting the fight for justice for her husband and for her daughter.
And now she's probably also scared because, like, she's like, somebody murdered my husband.
Yes.
Like, I wonder if he was, like, getting close to something.
That's what they think. So, Tommy was the patriarch of his family and played, again, a huge role in his daughter's investigation, which left a void and a space that really nobody could fill, not really even Sherry herself. Like, she's quoted to say, like, she felt like there's those shoes that she just can't fill. Yeah. Like, he just did it in such a way. And he had a lot of connections in the community that she didn't have. And so, like, you know, through, like, his business and when he was working and, you know, just made a lot of connections that she didn't have. And so, like, a lot of things, like, she just felt like she couldn't do it the way he was doing it. But the community did rally together to support their family, and they formed what they call Team Crystal to help as much as they can. And they continue to search for justice. But, yeah, like, she did. She had a quote, and I didn't put it in because, honestly, I couldn't find it again. So I'm sorry if it's not in one of my sources. But, again, this is not me. But she, I did read it somewhere, but there's somewhere. So much. If you Google it, there's, like, pages of stuff.
And sometimes you read something and you don't write it down right that second, and you can't find it again. You
can't find it again. So she was quoted saying that her husband told her he felt like he was being followed in the weeks leading up to his death. And I wish I had written this down. It was one of those I accidentally closed the tab and then I could never find it again. I was like,
yeah. And you have like 1,000 tabs open. With like the same general
headline.
Have
you ever had one where like the news sites are really bad for this? They just randomly start playing a video and I was like, I don't know where the sound is coming from. And I couldn't turn it off. I was like,
oh my gosh.
So but if he was, he did feel like he was being followed.
Yeah. And whoever it was probably like trying to
quiet him up.
Yep.
Yeah. Take care of him. So,
You've got to tell me that there's, like, some motive besides just, like, not liking people or something.
Yeah, we're getting there. Like, what I think would
like,
be the motive.
Because I'm, like,
this is me wildly speculating, but it's
I mean, currently, I'm, like, because it sounds like a mafia hit.
Right?
Like
it really does. That's not what I found, but, like, that's what it feels like. No,
but I'm, like, there's got to be some reason that they're, like, being so weird about it.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's... It's probably not actually organized crime.
Shooting Tommy, like, that seems like a hit. Like,
yeah,
for
it was a hit. That was a hit. Somebody
so,
was following him and waited to have the good opportunity.
Yeah, and also in small towns, like, you know, everybody knows where everybody lives, everybody knows where everybody works, where they hunt.
Yep.
You know, like, if they have a private family farm and it's hunting season, there's
like, they're probably going to go hunting on their farm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So, again, Team Crystal... It's helping as much as they can to continue to search for justice. However, as there always seems to be, there are those who try in their way, like who try to get in the way of that. So Team Crystal had been hanging up posters and placing yard signs to show support for the Ballard family, as well as to help keep Crystal's name and Tommy's in the public eye. So would you believe me if I told you that there were people stealing those signs and taking them down? Yeah, isn't that sad?
Yeah.
So, well, get this. A woman was caught on camera and charged in 2017 with theft for stealing some of those signs, and her name was also Crystal.
Interesting.
Crystal Maupin. And it gets worse. She was also the new girlfriend of none other
than Brooks.
Than Brooks Houck.
He's got a thing for crystals.
He's got a type.
Are you not worried you're also going to disappear mysteriously?
There's a lot to unpack there. Yeah. So, I think it's safe to say that this case is pretty bananas. I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot going on, but it gets even deeper. So, Crystal's disappearance, again, is often discussed in conversation surrounding what is now known in many circles as the Bardstown Conspiracy.
That which was the name of the episode.
Of the episode of Crime Junkie, which is the first time I heard a lot of details about this case.
Yeah. So I remember listening to this episode and I was just like, there's too much going on here. So I'm just going to like let it play.
Right.
Because I usually listen while I'm working, which is why I'll get like bits, but not like
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just like.
And I feel like. And again, I mean, every podcast is different. I feel like they focused a lot more on just, like, the fact that there are multiple cases happening within the same time span rather than, like, crystals. Which is fine. That's one way to do it. This definitely feels a lot like a conspiracy. It definitely feels like there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to take the route of Crystal more so than
Which kind of, like, it seems like it stemmed from her.
Yeah.
So even, like, if everything was only tied together because of her case, like, it still... happened because of her.
Yes. In a way.
Yeah.
Which was kind of my feeling on it. And that's the one that we have the most information mm-hmm. about. So, which is great, but also not, because we feel like we kind of don't have
a lot. We don't have enough of anything
yeah,
about anything.
To really go anywhere. Exactly. So, let's get into the others a little bit briefly. So, okay. like, the Bardstown Conspiracy, if you want to call it. I just keep calling it a series of unfortunate events, to be honest, because all of it really is just so sad, and it is so terrible, and I really don't want to give it a name, because I feel like a name gives it, like...
Power
in this level of...
Notoriety.
Yeah. It's like how we don't want to do that.
It's like how we don't name serial killers yeah. anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because we don't... It gives we don't want to be
fame,
lifting
them
up.
And it's yeah. not fame. Yeah. So, around this time, around her disappearance, her disappearance is just one event that took place in a short, relatively short period of time in which four mysterious and unsolved murders also took place, one of which being the death of her father.
Okay.
So let's get into that a little bit. You can really get lost in rabbit holes here if you dive into these a lot. I definitely spent a lot of time looking into all of these. Which is why I felt like the dude, you know,
yeah.
like the red ribbon everywhere. I definitely felt like that. And, like, Zach came home and he sat down in our guest room, which is where mm-hmm. I've set up where I work and stuff. And he sat down. And I was like, listen, yeah, I need to tell you this. And he just sat there and looked at me. And I was
this
like,
this shit is bananas, like Avril said.
Yes, it is insane. And I'm just kind of like, we know, but we don't know. I was very upset. And he was, too. Like, he's like, yeah, you're right. And also with his dad being from an area close to Bardstown, like, he's heard a lot of this stuff, of all of these. And so he's like, yeah, it's weird. It's crazy.
I just feel like being, in Louisville, it just feels closer,
you
know?
To home. Yeah, it really does.
I was listening to some other podcast, and they did a crime in St. Matthews.
Oh.
And I was like...
That's too close to home.
And, like, they said, like, the name, and they're... she was like, and she's from, sure, she lived in St. Matthews, Kentucky. And I was like, oh, St. Matthews, like the one in Louisville. And then she's like, which is near Louisville. Like, it's like in that metropolis. And I was like, it's the same
The
one.
Metropolitan
like,
area.
It's right there.
It's right there. Yeah. And Louisville is so weird because it's like, there are actually several different locations, but like all of it is considered
that's
Louisville,
what like all
know?
Big cities
all
are
big
like.
Cities yeah. yeah I just it just blows
the
me
first
away.
Time because my first like big city living was Columbus, Ohio, and yeah. so people are like in Columbus they'll be like, oh, so where do you live? And I would be like, Columbus. And they're like, no
like where
do you live?
Yeah. And when I first moved to Louisville it was like that.
It's like I don't know eventually I figured it out, but and like yeah. I lived there for 3 years, so now I know like all about like the different areas and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you first move there and you're not from a city and you don't know that that's how like cities work.
Yes,
it's and very like, confusing.
When you're from a small town, you're used to giving directions or receiving directions by like landmarks, not mm-hmm. so much like road names. And when I moved here, they were like, "Oh yeah, you go down Shelbyville Road and then you blah 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 blah." And I was just kind of like, "I don't know what any of that means. I'm going to use my GPS.
Can you give me an address?
Yes,
please?
Just give me the address." and then like. I don't know if it's a thing, like, an Eastern Kentucky thing or, like, whatever. We've talked about this, but it feels mm-hmm. like an Eastern Kentucky thing. In 4-H, when I was growing up, you identify where you're from more so by your county rather than, like, the city where you live or the town where you live.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I was used to telling people, like, where I was from. I'd say Carter County, and then I would say the city.
Yeah.
And then whatever. And... But I moved here, and then people asked, where are you from? And I'd be like, oh, Carter County. Whatever. And they just had no idea what I meant.
Yeah.
And then I would say the town name.
You learned to qualify
but, like,
it.
Nobody knows my teeny tiny little hometown. And so then I would say, okay, do you know where this is? Like a school.
Like, do you know
like,
where this,
like a well-known
this,
thing.
Yeah, or where this bigger city is. I'm half
yes,
an hour from
I'm
there.
Yes, I'm half hour. Yes, I would say... Yeah. I can't remember now. I don't know. I'm spacey.
Yeah.
But yes, you
I was
going to
say,
like a bigger
I always
name,
give like...
And then like, yeah.
I give like two bigger cities, and then sometimes they'll be like, oh, is that near this place? And I'm like, oh yeah, 20 minutes south.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Like...
I used to just say I'm just however long east of Louisville now, because I'm just like, people don't have a clue about my little hometown, so I was like,
Yeah.
But it's fine.
But I don't know if it's a... I think that like... For me, when I was in 4-H, like, our county fair was in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I could tell 4-H people, oh, I'm from hometown. And like,
they knew.
Yeah, because that's where the county
fair
was.
That's where the fair was, yeah.
So it was, like, notable in the 4-H world. So I don't know if that is a Kentucky thing or...
A 4-H thing,
like, using your county, because I feel like, because you usually go to your, like, your county fairs before you can go to state fairs. Yeah. So county makes sense, but I'm also, like, I have the weird thing.
The little, where they
where
meet.
I lived in the city that where our county, county fair was.
Yeah.
So everybody knew what I meant.
Knew what that was. Yeah. Fun times, fun times. That was a nice little, like, segue before we get to all this.
I was
going to
say,
dark...
we've needed a segue
for a minute. We needed to light this up. Yeah.
Well, drink some of your wine.
We're definitely going to get... Gonna drag it back down here in a minute.
Okay. It's fine.
If I'm... And I really don't have a way to end it to where it's like, but here's this thing. Okay. It's fine. We'll talk about it.
Everything's awful.
Okay. Everything. So, in 2013, so before Crystal.
2013. Okay.
Yeah. She went missing in 2015. So in 2013, there was the death of Jason Ellis. Jason was a canine officer with the Bardstown Police Department.
Okay, this name sounds familiar.
Yeah. This one they focused a lot on in that crime.
Oh, that
episode.
Would be why. Okay.
Yeah. He was married to Amy, and they had two young sons. He was very involved. Being a canine officer, obviously, he was very involved in the drug investigations, and they were making a lot of progress on the drug activity in the area. Yeah. So
was he with Bardstown or, like, Louisville Metro?
Bardstown.
Okay. Yeah. Just checking. I'm sure you said
Louisville
that,
Metro
but I forgot.
Extends that far. Like, I don't know if their jurisdiction extends that far.
I have no idea. I have not looked into that.
I don't think it does.
I was just asking.
Because they have their own, I don't know.
They have their own cars, so.
Yeah. According to the FBI's Seeking Information page dedicated to him, quote, Ellis had signed off on the radio and was driving home when he encountered branches blocking the road on exit 34 of the Bluegrass Parkway in Bardstown, Kentucky. To ensure the safety of the public, he got out of his vehicle to clear the branches. He turned his lights on and went to clear the branches. While attempting to remove the debris, he was shot several times and died shortly after. Officer Ellis was discovered by a passing motorist.
I remember that.
They had on Crime Junkies episode. They have the 911
call. Yeah,
which is terrifying. And actually, I need to link that, so I will make sure that's linked too.
Again, I don't remember anything about this, but when you say
you
it, I can
that.
Be like,
you
oh, I remember that now.
You can't not...
Yeah.
Not remember that. It was hard to listen to. Because there's this woman... So a husband and wife were in their car and another guy who was coming home.
And she's like, officer down.
Officer down, officer down.
Yeah.
And because, like, they don't know really, like, how to tell them or, like, what they need to say. Like, they're just saying, officer
like,
down,
like, send
down.
Send an ambulance.
Send help. There's an officer down. And it's just sad. It's just hard to listen to.
And they literally,
yeah.
Which also sounds like a mafia hit. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. They still don't have any information on that.
I was
going to
say, do you think that it's some sort of organized crime? Not necessarily, like, mafia level, but, like...
I do.
Some sort of, like, organized...
I do, and I'll say it because this... I literally wrote, like, also a point of interest is that Jason Ellis was at one time Nick Houck's partner.
Oh.
So, my theory... Now
inside
that
I've, man.
Now that I've stated that, I will give you my theory. My theory is that Nick... And his brother, Brooks, got into trouble. Illegal activity of some sort, probably drugs.
Based on the fact that he was a canine unit in the doing drug bus.
Yeah. He was partnered with a canine. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I meant, the victim.
Yeah.
Jason was.
So that was my thought, was that at one point, I don't know at one point, like, Brooks would have gotten involved. Probably from the beginning,
blood.
Yeah, I think that's what happened, and Jason... was getting too good at figuring things out. Like, there's no... Mm-hmm. I couldn't find anything that, like... I couldn't really find much of anything about, like, their partnership or anything. So, like, I couldn't find anything that he was, like, suspicious of Nick or anything like that. But I think he was starting to get too close to home for him. And so he got him taken care of. And then... he got him out of the way. And then he Crystal arranged
his murder.
Yeah. And then Crystal started catching on to something at some point 2 years later. And so they did the same thing to her. And then Tommy started getting too wise to what figuring out what happened to Crystal. So then that would have led back to everything eventually, else.
Yeah. Well, and it probably was just like, Jason was probably just doing his job. His name was Jason, right?
Yeah, I'm not Jason Ellis. Yeah.
Okay, so Jason was probably just, like, doing his job, doing his investigations, you know, making the world better or whatever, and, like, but he
Nick
was...
got paranoid.
Yeah, he was... Nick got paranoid, and or he was, like, getting closer to, like, their dealers, their house.
Yeah, like,
and
what...
Because they were partners, operation. Like, he would know, and he was like, this is too close for comfort.
And you can only throw your partner off for so long. Like, you can only, like... Yeah. So that's what I think. Again, there is no evidence to point to that, but that's what I think. There's no evidence that's been made public.
Yeah. Well, and just that, all three of those instances just sound so much like...
And the common denominator is Nick.
Yeah. But so, and they like, but they all just sound so... They sound like stuff you see on TV.
They really do. They sound like things on movies. Like... Everybody, when something happens in your hometown, you're like, "That this never happens here." But like this stuff never happens. Yeah, this doesn't happen. I can't say this never happens in Bardstown, but like I imagine this never happens in
Bardstown. I was gonna say, I feel like just like this level of like planning into a murder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't happen.
I mean, they blocked the road. The Bluegrass Parkway. Well, like,
no, first, they knew what route he was going to take home.
Yeah, he took the same route home.
They knew when he was going to be off.
Yes.
They knew to, like... That he wouldn't just turn around because it was probably the quickest way home. And he was like, I'll just clear this, put on my
lights.
And they
probably knew he's a good person who's going
to
stop.
And so he's going to stop. And, like, they had to take all of these steps. Mm-hmm. And, like, that branch couldn't have been there before because it could have gotten moved by somebody else. So they, like, had the timing even down.
It just is, it's too calculated.
Well orchestrated.
Yeah, it's too calculated to be a coincidence.
Yeah.
And that's where the related events stop, really. Like, as far as, like, yes, I could clearly see,
those
like,
are
these
definitely related.
Seem to be related. But there's two other murders that occurred at the same time.
Okay.
Of each other. This one, I have a hard... I can speculate wildly, but there's not, like, this thing that's like, I am related. So, And this one really bothers me because it just seems so out there. Like, so, like, it makes you go, like, why? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. But crime really doesn't make sense half the time, so
yeah, I feel like
that.
To people, like, as a person who, and I've said this before to, like, Jeremiah and stuff, like, I would have a hard time even, like, defending, like, taking another life to defend myself.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
if
like,
I had
to. So, like, as somebody
to,
who's like that,
yeah,
it's so hard for me to, like, comprehend.
Yeah.
Just, like, taking another life for money or to, like,
for
prevent
any other
getting
reason.
In trouble, you know? Like,
yeah. I think, like, if it were just my life in danger, I would have a really hard time making that decision. Mm-hmm. If I were protecting children or someone else that I loved, I probably, this sounds horrible, but I feel like I could act a lot faster.
Yeah, no,
that
but that's
moment.
Also why I worded it the way I did.
Yes,
because if I was protecting,
I
like, my child or my sibling or my parents, like, it would be harder, but it would be way easier for me to do than if it was just me in danger.
I'm with you.
You know?
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. It's like, I could do it.
It's like my mama bear
struggle.
Instincts kick in.
Yeah, it's like, I would struggle with it, but also, like, you better believe I'm doing whatever I can to protect them. Yeah, I feel you there. Yeah. And just, like, this seems so mindless. Just so...
Just, like, life doesn't matter. It's fine.
Yeah, that's what this seems like.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm having a really hard time. But the timing is just so weird.
Wild.
Yeah. So, let's see. Okay. So... Kathy Netherland and her daughter, Samantha, who was 16 at the time, were murdered in their home.
Okay.
And I'm just going to read, this is kind of a long quote, but I'm just going to read it straight from the Crystal Rogers Task Force website.
Okay.
Because I just couldn't really paraphrase it any better.
Sometimes you just have to quote.
Yeah. So, quote, Kathy Netherland, a dedicated special education teacher at Bardstown Elementary School, mm-hmm. and her daughter, Samantha Netherland, a vibrant 16-year-old with a passion for school, were beloved by those who knew them best. Stacy Hibbard, Kathy's sister, describes Kathy as a selfless person, and she is quoted saying, "I don't ever remember a time in her life where her life was focused just on her."
Aww.
Samantha said she was bright, motivated, engaged, and would have made real contributions to society. Each of those words in that phrase are quoted as well. On Tuesday, April 22nd, 2014, so right in the middle of all this happening, neither Kathy nor Samantha showed up for school. I just realized there's a typo in that quote. Samantha was quoted saying that Samantha was these things. Stacy said she was bright, motivated, engaged. You get the point.
It's fine.
So neither Kathy nor Samantha showed up for school. So Kathy for work at school.
Yeah.
For Samantha at school.
Yeah.
When a relative went to check on the two of them at their home, he discovered a shocking and tragic scene. Both Kathy and Samantha had been tied up, tortured, and brutally murdered. Kathy had suffered both knife and bullet wounds. Samantha had been stabbed and her throat was cut. Surveillance footage near the Netherland home captured a black Chevy Impala that may be linked to the murders. End quote. So again, if you have anything, all of these cases, you can give information on that website anonymously.
And it's linked in the description of this video.
Yes. So...
Oh, my gosh.
All of these events are mentioned, again, on that website because they all happen so close together and they all remain unsolved. And I think that also really shakes the community of Bardstown because things like that, like their brutal crime rate, crime.
It's not that high.
It's not that high. Yeah. And so, it's like boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. It's like all of this to happen so close together is just uncanny. Yeah. And, the only way I can speculate that the Netherland case would be tied to any of these others would be, maybe they were targets for, to rob them,
mm-hmm.
For money or something like that.
Could they have witnessed something?
Maybe that's a speculation that a lot of people is that they could have witnessed something, even unknowingly.
Yeah, and they not even too realized much and that it was...
know. Yeah, and, Sat... I almost said Sam. I don't know if she was ever referred to as Sam. Samantha is 16. So mm-hmm. she, when you're 16, you are a lot more social and, you interact a lot with people. And so maybe she had, I'm not going to say she became friends with, the wrong crowd, but maybe she just, had an encounter and it somehow, heard something, but there's no, evidence.
See, I was thinking you were going to be maybe she saw something that to her was innocuous and she was telling a story and somebody overheard it,
The
wrong person, and they were like, oh, she knows too much.
Yeah, even though she doesn't know, she knows.
Yeah. My only issue with connecting those to our other ones is mm-hmm. that they seem a lot messier.
Yes. Yeah, they're nowhere near as calculated. Yeah. And it seems like Samantha would have been the target because hers was so much more brutal.
Yeah.
It doesn't give it all the detail, really, in this, which I understand.
Yeah,
but I read a lot more and heard a lot more that, Kathy was killed by the gunshot wound. But she had knife marks, but, they said they were more they were quick and shallow.
Superficial.
The shot is what got her, almost as if it was getting her out of the way
so that they
could focus on Samantha.
That's heartbreaking.
I know. And you want to know something else heartbreaking that you definitely heard on the Crime Junkie episode?
Sure.
So Samantha was getting ready to go to her prom and had just sent her sister, who was in college at the time, pictures of her prom dress, but she never got to go. So she was buried in her prom dress.
Oh, I do remember that.
And that's heartbreaking. But the family and friends, felt like, she was so excited about finding that dress. She deserved to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they...
I'm gonna cry.
I know!
That's
it's horrible! It is horrible. And so, again, please, if this reaches anyone in Bardstown who has any inclination that you might know something... just reach out. It honestly cannot hurt anything. you know, the smallest visit that website.
Tip can help, yeah, really.
Anything. Especially those vehicles. So there's photos available on crystalrogerstaskforce.com of vehicles that they think are suspicious in any of these cases, you know. So there's a lot of information out there.
If you're, if you were in this area between 2013 and 2016, like, look at the photos.
Definitely check it out. So today, the FBI, so now we're going to talk about, like, the new things that have happened in the Crystal Rogers case specifically, but it has pulled their attention to all of these because of that. That has happened very recently. So today, the FBI is back on as the lead investigator. I think they've always been involved, but now they're back as the official lead on the investigation.
That makes me think that it's bigger.
Yeah. They are back on due to the discovery of possible human remains in Nelson County, which is the county in Barstown. So authorities wouldn't give an exact location and will not comment until they receive the remains and have results back from their lab in
Quantico. They want to be sure. Well, and it would suck to be like, it could be this person, and then it's like, it's not.
That's what I did a Google search right before we did this. I searched to make sure
just in case
that nothing had come up. So I've been keeping tabs on this before we would record.
What's today's date?
Today's date, we are recording this on Monday, August 17th.
Okay.
So just so everybody knows.
So if something has happened in the last 2 weeks from the time this posts.
Yeah.
We're recording it on August 17th. As of right now, the remains have not been identified.
Yes. Okay. As of right now, they have not been identified. But there are a lot of things out there, like Sherry is quoted in a lot of places and has said a lot of things that's like that give me feeling that they're making moves.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nothing that they can share. She feels like there's been a lot of progress made and a lot of steps forward in both Tommy and Crystal's cases. Yeah. So there's that. So an article published by Wave 3 News on August 12th of this year said, quote, "Last week, the FBI announced they were taking over the Crystal Rogers investigation and sent 150 state and federal agents to Bardstown. Wow. Former FBI agent David Beyer, who was a supervisory special agent for 26 years but is not working the Rogers case, says the amount of agents in Bardstown speaks volumes. He said, quote, "I think it demonstrates the FBI's resolve to try to find who is responsible for these crimes. I believe the FBI has had this case on its radar for some time, not only because of the potential for kidnapping in Crystal's case, but also the other things that were transpiring in Bardstown, I think has caused the FBI to be very interested in this and the other activities down there."
Dang.
End of his quote. Continuing the overall quote. The article also said, the FBI served 9 search warrants. 3 were served at Brooks Houck's home, Nick Houck's home. That's a lot of K's. And the Houck family farm. Beyer said it's likely there were multiple warrants per location for things like cars, sheds, barns, etc. End of overall quote. It's hard to verbally do like quotes within quotes.
Yeah.
It's really hard. So at this point, I haven't heard of any massively new developments other than today when I was looking. They said they've identified a new location of interest, which
could be anything.
But local law enforcement and the FBI are still open to any and all information that the community can share about any of these cases. So again, you can give any information anonymously at that website, also by contacting the Louisville branch or the Louisville FBI office. So any and all information, they are honestly so open to it. There's so many things where they've said, like, we know we're going to need the community. We know we're going to need their help.
They need you.
Yeah, they need you guys to, if you know, or if there's anybody that you know who's not even a patron, get their attention to this. Like, show them this video, like, you know, send them to that website and just be like, listen, like,
look at this stuff.
Literally anything.
Tickle anything in your brain.
Yeah. So that is unfortunately all that I have on this. And just my heart just breaks for all of those families and for, you know, Sherry in particular, just because I feel like, you know, her world has been rocked in so many ways. And, now it's like new hope every single time that like something comes up, you know, it's like your heart just like lurches.
I hope they find something. I hope that we at least get a charge or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Like. And so that's been all over the news here recently. So, yeah, again, if you know anything, if you see something, say something, all that. So, yeah, it's heavy.
Well, yeah.
It's a lot. We definitely need a palate cleanser. Next month won't be as heavy.
Yeah.
I'll probably go back to paranormal next time because that's lighter.
Flipping is nice.
Flipping is nice. I'm not going to promise it's going to flip each time, but I definitely am going to flip. Yeah. Next time.
Or, like, not that there's such a thing as a lighthearted murder, but there are ones that aren't as heavy, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It's
There are levels.
Yeah, for sure. So, thanks for tuning in.
We love you.
We love you.
If you have any story suggestions or you want to request one from Sav for Sav Stories, so if it can't be put on the regular podcast, but you want us to do it here, comment it.
Yeah.
Email us.
I want to know what
Since
you guys want to hear about.
Since you're a patron, like, we'll give your ideas more weight.
Yeah. And even if it's something that, I mean, I'm willing to do things, like, even if it's not really something I could dive into a lot for, like, a Sav story, but it's worth, like, having a conversation about, we can do like a different, like just like another video.
Yeah,
you know,
if you want any bad any other bad explanations
of things,
we currently have the bad Dahmer explanation and the bad Borden explanation.
I love that.
So
love
if you want others, let us know.
Yes. Or if you just want to get our take on things, we love giving a hot take. So a good old hot take. Whatever you want to know.
Hot take wine is delicious.
Hot take. Again, I think I say this every Sav Stories, but this level of piff is my favorite level of piff. Not that I don't love you all the time, which I say every time I say that, but this level of piff is my favorite. If you have any, like, hey, you guys like wine, you should try this wine whenever you're drinking.
Yeah.
When you're doing Sav Stories.
Do you have a suggestion for
Let
us?
Let me know. Okay. So, that's all for September Sav Stories. Again, remember, this was recorded August 17th. Yes, 17th. August 17th. So, and we're going ahead of time to prepare
for I'm taking a break.
Because she's taking a break and it'll be so great.
My cell phone will be off the day that this posts.
Yes, it will.
But it'll all be scheduled in advance just because we love you so
we
much.
We love you all so much. And we love you all so much. We've been doing two a week for like a month and a half. So.
Yep. And this is our last double week.
Our last double week. So, yeah. But anyway, all that to say,
I'm so excited.
We appreciate y'all so much, and I appreciate getting able to, like, being able to do some stories. I really like it. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. So, and because I enjoy it so much, I wanted to make sure I'm doing stuff that y'all want to listen to. So, for sure, comment, send us an email, notsogreatoutdoors@gmail.com. If you don't already, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at NSGOpod on both of those. Share us with your friends. Give us a rating on Apple Podcasts if you haven't yet.
We love you.
We love you all
Thank
so
you
much.
For supporting us.
Thank you.
We literally thank can't you. Thank you enough.
We can't.
We hope you're enjoying all of the extra content.
Yes. And yeah. Until next time.
Stay safe out there.
Cheers with me. Well.
That's a wrap.
Thanks for watching. Our music is by Purple Planet. Our art and logos are by Catherine Dodds. If you'd like to support us, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/nsgopod. And don't forget to listen on all of your favorite podcasting platforms.